It is always such a blessing for us to have an opportunity to come and worship our God, to give Him the praise that He deserves, and that's what we intend to do this morning. It's good to have all of you here today. Appreciate the songs that Trevor led as we want to bring a lesson that can make a difference, hopefully, in your life and in my life as well. You know, God calls on each of us to make a difference in the world that we live in. And when Jesus calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world, the implication is clear that the world is corrupt. It is engulfed in spiritual darkness and in the grip of sin. So making a difference in the world may seem like a daunting task. It seems like all the rules have changed. The definition of marriage and family have certainly changed. Political correctness is the buzzword of our culture. But we are kingdom citizens, and kingdom citizens are charged to make a difference in this world. One way that we can do this is by building a spiritual legacy. You know, we don't use that word often. I think we should. James Dobson, the author of many books on parenting and family, as well as a radio program called Focus on the Family, has written a book by the title, Your Legacy, The Greatest Gift. I haven't read that book yet. But the title was so gripping to me, it caught my attention and gave rise to this lesson. You know, there are a lot of gifts that we can give to our children and those around us. And there's a lot of ways that we can make a difference for those that are around us. But the greatest gift I think that we can give our children, as suggested by that title, is by leaving them a spiritual legacy. And so this morning, I want to talk with you about your legacy, and suggest to you that it is, in fact, the greatest gift that you can leave this world behind you. That there are a lot of ways that we want to impact our children, and our children might be thinking about some money that they might get when parents die and other things like that. But the greatest gift that I can give my children is to leave them a spiritual legacy that will cause them to serve God all the days of their life and impact others as well. So this morning we'll be going to look briefly at seven Bible characters. That's the perfect number. A lot more people we could talk about. We're going to briefly look at seven well-known Bible characters and examine the legacies that they left for each one of us. But the penetrating question I think each of us needs to be thinking about is this question, and this is for men and for women, for old and for young. What kind of legacy am I going to leave my children and my brethren? What kind of legacy are you building today? And so as we think about that title this morning, I want you to be thinking about some applications to your own life. So first of all, when we talk about legacy, we raise the question, what is a legacy? Sometimes political figures come to mind, like Ronald Reagan, may have some strengths and no doubt weaknesses. I might go back further in history to Abraham Lincoln. He certainly left a legacy in a lot of ways. Some of you familiar with this name, maybe not the face, C.S. Lewis, who has written a lot in terms of Christian apologetics, a British writer and teacher at Oxford. So we raised the question, what is a legacy? Because we don't really talk about that very much. And so quickly, I want to just suggest to you, a legacy is something that you hand down from one generation to the next. And that's what we need to be thinking about, what we're going to leave for our children, our brethren behind us. And I want to suggest that a legacy is a lasting moral or spiritual influence that will impact future generations for years to come. So as we think about legacy, very often we think about people that are that have transcended their time, the generation, and we may never achieve that level of legacy, but we can all develop legacy in our own lives. One point I want to make at the start of the lesson is to understand that we need to remember that you don't have to be perfect to build a legacy. And none of the Bible characters that we'll talk about this morning were perfect, but they all establish significant legacies in their lives. And so that's what we're talking about. And I think that's why that title got me and really got my attention. Your legacy, it's the greatest gift. Greater than anything else that you do, your legacy will outlive you, may outlive your children. And this idea is seen in Scripture in Psalms chapter 78. Is God is reminding us of the importance of His law. And I think as David reveals this part of this this message in verse 5, says that He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God. This passage illustrates the importance of building legacy and faithfulness in a generation that is passed on to others. And when that doesn't happen, the consequences are catastrophic. If we don't establish spiritual faithfulness and legacy, it can have far-reaching consequences in our children's lives, our grandchildren's lives, and many other people. On the other hand, if we do establish that legacy, then the benefits can be quite positive and long-lasting. And I think we need to realize that that we all have the ability to establish a legacy. So in Revelation chapter 14, God is showing us a picture of those who had passed from this life. They had served God faithfully. And in this passage, John is revealing to us the impact that these dead Christians were still having on those around them. And he said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. These were Christians, I say ordinary Christians in some ways. But these people, no doubt, in the first century, under the intense persecution of the Roman Empire, they gave the ultimate sacrifice. They died in service to God, standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But part of what follows from their death is that they rest from their labors. But it said that their deeds follow them. Our deeds will follow our lives. Our actions will follow us. Our legacy will and our influence will follow our lives. Also in Hebrews chapter 11, in verses 4 and 5, Hebrews chapter 11 deals with some of the great Bible characters of faith in the Old Testament. And just mentions in verse 4 that by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Abel still speaks to you and me today, because Abel decided that he was going to give God his best in worship and serve him acceptably. Cain did not do that. They both left legacies. But Abel still speaks to us today, because he determined that he was going to give God his very best in worship. And so we recognize then that our influence will follow us long after our lives have passed. A couple of thoughts to think about before we get into looking quickly at these individuals. Everyone can build a legacy, and I think everyone will build a legacy. It's not something that just is reserved for a select few. All of us can build a legacy. Old and young, male and female, all of us can do that. In fact, we are. We will build a legacy. And secondly, I want to suggest that we build our legacy by what we're doing right now, by being in worship. As parents, as single people, we make the priority to come and worship God, to study His Word. Then we are establishing the principles for our children and those all around us. So we build our legacy by what we're doing today, by what we're doing right now. So just think about those thoughts. And let's look again very quickly at some of the well-known Bible characters. I've just selected a handful of them. We're going to look at those somewhat quickly. But let's talk about Noah. Noah established, I believe, a legacy. And I think ultimately what I see in Noah, in addition to his faith and all that, was a man who's going to be obedient to God and do God's word. So it says in verse 9 that these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Wow, what a compelling example. The whole world in Noah's day was in the grip of sin. No one else feared God except Noah. His wife did, maybe with his influence, his children. The sons were able to bring three wives into the ark as well, but it was Noah's example. But it's a reminder that you can serve God faithfully even if the whole world is lost in sin. You don't have to run after the crowd to do evil. Noah was alone. His children were alone. But he was a man determined to do God. And we can be faithful to God even if the world is not faithful to him. And think about this, that God gave Noah the charge to build this enormous ark and to gather two of every animals into the ark. It was a daunting task to gather all these animals and to bring them into the ark. They stayed there about 6 months, had to feed them and clean out their waste. Make a lot of people wonder, God, what do you have in mind for me doing this? But you notice in the text, and this is just looking at a brief clip of that in Genesis chapter 6. Again, you see the charge to take two of every kind into the ark, keep them alive. Take it in verse 21. As for you, take for yourself some of all the food which is edible and gather it to yourself. And it shall be food for you and for them. Look at verse 22. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. In spite of all the great things of Noah that we can talk about, his faith and all of that, Noah left a legacy of obedience. In our culture, obedience is not in the top 10 list of words to talk about today. In our religious culture, it doesn't really matter how you serve God, just be sincere and honest. That's not what we find in the Scripture. So Noah left us an example of what it means to serve God faithfully. And I think Noah, in a lot of ways, his legacy was a legacy of obedience. And so and if you don't achieve a name and status in this world or even in the Lord's church, it doesn't matter. But if you're obedient to God and your children see that, then you, in fact, have established a noteworthy legacy for your children to follow. So when I think about Noah, he left a legacy of obedience. What an example for us to follow. What about Abraham? Again, we're looking just briefly at some of these well-known Bible characters. And James chapter 2 and verses 21 through 23 says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Wow. Why was Abraham called the friend of God or a friend of God? Because he believed the promises that God had made to him. Look at this passage. I've got these all on the screen, but I want you to look at Romans chapter 4 with me for just a moment. And look at this account of Abraham's faith. Actually, I didn't put that up there. Yeah. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, talking about Abraham, the context of chapter 4 is the idea that justification takes place on the basis of faith, and that was evidenced by the Old Testament characters. In verse 17, it says, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you in the presence of him who believed, even God who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead. He's 100 years old. Since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, she's about 90. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. So God makes the promise to Abraham and Sarah 25 years earlier that they're going to have a child. And finally, when she's 90 years old, past childbearing, and Abraham's 100, God is going to fulfill that promise. But it mentions that Abraham did not stagger in unbelief. He did not waver in unbelief. But he believed the promises of God and was fully assured that God was able to keep what he had promised. And so when I think about Abraham and his legacy, I see a man who manifested unflinching trust in God. When it didn't make sense, when it didn't seem reasonable, he believed that God was able to fulfill this promise. And you think about Abraham all of his life, and after he has the child of promise, God tells him to offer him up, and he is willing to do that on the basis of faith. But what sets Abraham apart, I think, in my mind, from so many Bible characters, is that he simply believed the promises of God. Do you believe God's promises that he'll be with you no matter where you go? That he'll meet every need that you have? And that when life is over, he'll take us home to be with him in heaven? And so if we manifest that type of attitude, then it can be said that we are like Abraham. And so when I think about Abraham, a lot of great things, because he had his strengths, he had his weaknesses. But Abraham was a man who had this unflinching trust in God. He believed against all odds. And so many times we don't, and we stagger in our sometimes questions about God. So again, Abraham sets an example that is worthy of our imitation. What about Moses? He's another one that we would need to think about very briefly. A lot of passages we could talk about, but in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 24, says that by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch him. Again, Moses is a well-known figure. This is a familiar passage to us. But Moses is living life in an Egyptian palace under Pharaoh. He has an opportunity of wealth and affluence and ease. He gives it all up for a life of difficulty, hardship, and mistreatment so that he could be God's leader, in essence. And so you think about Moses, there's no way to quickly summarize his legacy, but God gave the nation of Israel the law through Moses. That's why we call it what? The law of Moses. The five books of the Old Testament. First five books of the Old Testament. He was a prophet. A prophet who spoke for God. And he delivered the nation of Israel from Egyptian slavery. So, in terms of his influence, he was a prophet, a lawgiver, and a deliverer. But when I think of Moses and summarizing his greatness and his legacy, Moses left us a legacy of leadership. He left a legacy of leadership. You know that the Lord needs leaders in his church today? The question is, are we willing to step up and be leaders in his church and make a difference in the world around us, make a difference among his own people? But Moses is a great example. And Moses didn't start out so bold and confident and all that type of thing. And early on, he did not want to be God's spokesman, did not want to go to Pharaoh. He was not gifted with the ability to speak and all of that. But Moses overcame those weaknesses and became a legend in terms of biblical leadership, spiritual leadership. Think about how Moses impacted the nation of Israel and all the people around him. And he still is an example for us today to follow. So Moses left us a legacy of leadership. What kind of legacy am I going to leave for my children? What kind of legacy are we going to leave for our children, our brethren? So Moses is noteworthy. Look in Joshua chapter 24. This again, very compelling. This has always been one of the most compelling accounts when I think about this is near the end of Joshua's life. In fact, in chapter, I think early in this chapter, he's about to die and he institutes a covenant. We've been talking about that in Kurt's class this morning. Institutes a covenant and speaks all these conditions. He said, and the rock is bearing witness to what I'm saying here. So now he's going the way of all the earth. And notice what the text says over here in verse 29 and following, it says, after these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. And verse 31 says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. One man impacted the faithfulness of an entire nation all the days of his life. Isn't that amazing? That this was Joshua's influence. Not only was that true, it says that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. Wow, what an example. What a legacy. So in terms of terminology, I think Joshua left a legacy of generational leadership. His influence went on to other generations. So think about that in terms of his faith, his courage. You know, he was named the successor to Moses while Moses was still alive. He has the daunting task of subduing the nations that they're going to conquer. He has a lot of great qualities, but Joshua was a man, again, of tremendous leadership, of what we might call generational leadership. His influence impacted other generations. Well, I had to put Job. I wanted to talk about him this morning briefly, because there are a lot of lessons we can learn from Job. So in Job chapter 1 and verse 1 said that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So this text sounds a lot like in the days of Noah. But Job was extremely blessed in his life, but he lost everything. He endured unimaginable suffering and ridicule. But Job patiently endured. He remained faithful to God. In fact, if you look in the New Testament, in James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, James says in verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. He said, you have heard of the patience or the endurance of Job. So this was, in fact, in my opinion, my understanding, Job's legacy. Job left a legacy of patience or steadfast endurance. You can look at that word and translate it a little bit differently. But that was his legacy. That Job was dealing with unimaginable suffering, ridicule, all types of difficulty, the loss of his entire family. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. And so as we struggle with pain and suffering and anguish or loneliness, whatever it might be, we look to Job, and really the account of Job is written down for us so that I can learn to patiently endure when life gets really, really hard. So Job left a staggering legacy. We don't think about it. It doesn't seem glorious or glamorous, but he left a legacy of steadfast endurance. He did not give up. And in the end, God does vindicate him. So Job was a man of tremendous patience. Let's look at a couple other examples this morning. We certainly want to talk about David and his legacy. And again, we can look at a lot of different passages. I've just chosen one from Acts chapter 13, as Paul is recounting some of Israel's history on his first missionary journey. And jumping into verse 20, it says, all this took about 450 years. And after that, he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, a man after my own heart. We can talk about David's failures in just a minute. But what God found in David was a man whose heart was like God's. He hungered to do what was right. He thirsted after God's law. So he said, God is saying about David, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will. Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. So you think about David, think about young David. with the courage he manifested in his battle with Goliath. He wasn't afraid to face the Goliath. He took the Goliath down. He was one of the greatest warriors in Israel's history, powerful warrior, a great king, maybe one of Israel's the greatest king. Of course, he was guilty of some serious sins, adultery, murder, no doubt others as well. But he humbly repented of his sin. He wrote many of the Psalms, which reveals this hunger and this delight in God's word. And again, it's a reminder to each of us that you don't have to be perfect. Let me say that again. You don't have to be perfect to develop a legacy. But David did develop a legacy, and I think his legacy was he was a man who hungered after God's word. What's most important in your life or in my life? I think that's a remarkable thing to think about in the statement that God makes about David. I have found a man after my own heart. That's a legacy that he left for each of us to imitate. Let's look at one other example this morning before we extend the invitation. Certainly want to talk about the Apostle Paul as a man of great faith. There's so many examples we could talk about and just didn't have time to go through all those this morning. But the Apostle Paul is also a man who left a tremendous legacy for us today. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking about his desire to save souls. In verse 19, he says, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law." Verse 22, "To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." So Paul is a man, in terms of his legacy, he was a tireless soul winner, a tireless preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament. That's a lot of writing. He too endured an unimaginable persecution, suffering, and hardship. He traveled extensively through the Roman Empire to spread the gospel, and yet he did it all with joy, the joy of saving souls. And really, Paul is a tremendous role model and leaves a legacy for every gospel preacher today. Anyone who proclaims the gospel of Christ looks for the Apostle Paul. His legacy still lives. And none of us come close in any way. We're so far off the mark. But he's the example for me. He's the example for all of us. His love for the Lord, his zeal for lost souls motivates and inspires all of us to follow his example. So Paul, among other things, left a legacy of a tireless servant who was on a mission to save souls. And we can certainly look to him for our example. Let me just review some things before we extend the invitation this morning. So when we talk about some biblical legacies, Noah is a man who demonstrated complete obedience to God's word. No excuses. He did exactly and specifically what God told him to do. That's what the text says. Abraham, a man of tremendous faith, with an unflinching trust in God. He's called the friend of God because of his faith in God. And again, what the phrase I think that we need to tie in with Abraham is that he heard the promises of God and believed them and did not doubt God's promises. That's why he's left a legacy for us. Moses is a prophet. He's a lawgiver. He is a deliverer. But Moses left us a legacy of leadership. And his example still is being felt in our lives today. Joshua, again, I use this phrase, generational leadership. He was a man who maybe in some ways single-handedly caused the nation of Israel to be faithful to God as long as he lived. And when he was buried, as long as the elders were still alive that served him, Israel was faithful to God. It's remarkable. leadership. Generational leadership. Are we generational leaders making a difference for those to come? I hope that we are. Job is a man who left the legacy of perfect patience. When almost anybody else might give up and quit, Job continued to persevere. He was a man of steadfast endurance. That's a noteworthy quality. And maybe it's not as glamorous in some ways as some other quality, but Job left a legacy of patience. He did not give up. David, again, he was a man after God's own heart. He had tremendous strengths. He had his weaknesses, but he had a heart for God's word, a heart to do God's will. And then the Apostle Paul, excuse me, he was a tireless preacher of the gospel. He was willing to spend and be spent. He spent his life serving God and saving souls, and finally died doing the very thing he loved, saving souls. Remarkable examples to think about these individuals. But the question that each of us have to think about now, and as long as we have life and breath in us, is this question: what kind of legacy are you going to leave those around you? What kind of legacy are you going to leave your children? Again, that's something that we have to be reminded of, is that we build our legacy today and while we're alive. And I want to suggest to you, and we could have used Jesus as another example, and I'll just use that in the close, but the best place to start, if you want to build a legacy that will last, follow the example of Jesus Christ. He left quite a legacy, obviously. He left a legacy of love, compassion, mercy, truth, complete selflessness and obedience to God. And when I think about Jesus, one thing stands out, I guess maybe from the Garden of Gethsemane. As a man, he totally surrendered to the will of his Father. He pushed aside comfort. He pushed aside his own prerogatives, his own wishes, and he totally fell on his face before the ground and surrendered to his Father's will. What an example. What a legacy. If you want to build a legacy in your life, and we all do, let's start with that attitude. If you're not a Christian, the first thing to do, I know you hear about, you know, hear the gospel and repent and believe and be baptized, all that. But the first thing you've got to do is surrender. I give up. I'm not going my way any longer. Give up. Completely surrender to God's word, his will. And then yield your life in complete obedience to him. It may be that you need the prayers of the congregation. We're here always to assist and encourage each of us as we journey towards heaven. If you need to respond to the gospel in any way, come while we stand and sing this song.